is the New York State AFERD podcast entitled A through Z Health and PE. We are your co-hosts, Drs. C and C, the true Pan-American connection. I am Clancy Seymour, and my tag team partner is the one and only Dr. Victor Ramsey.
Details highlighting our episodes, guests, contact information, publications, and other useful resources will always be included in the podcast show notes. For more information about New York State AFERD, please visit newyorkstateaferd.org or Facebook and social media handles at New York State AFERD. Let's embrace the journey, and now, on to our show.
Greetings, listeners. I'm Dr. Clancy Seymour with my co-host, the one and only Dr. Vic Ramsey. Doc, how are you today?
I am doing great. Just had a wonderful run, my good friend. And of course, that movement, I had to make up for those miles that I missed while we met upstate, and I didn't get a chance to run with you. So I was quite jealous. But now I am back in form and ready, by the way, for our pickleball challenge, my friend.
There you go. And actually, Dr. Ramsey, that's a very good point. New York State AFERD is embarking on 100 years of history.
Indeed.
And you and I, yes, and you and I made a pact for the upcoming month to run 100 miles in the month of May, which we're on our way because today is May 1st. And then awesome. I'm going to beat you 100 times in pickleball to go with it.
Oh, my goodness. So wait a minute. I might have been ahead of the game because I did 8 today. You only had 5. So
yeah, you already got
right.
Yeah, you're already ahead.
That sounds like a plan, my friend. Yes,
that's
indeed.
That's awesome. I love it. So welcome to the New York State AFERD A through Z Health and PE podcast. In this episode, we will be discussing how interdisciplinary approaches can improve meaningful learning experiences in physical education with Dr. Kayla Zimmer. She's a teaching faculty and director of graduate literacy at Canisius University. Dr. Kayla Zimmer is the director of graduate literacy at Canisius University. Like I said, she teaches graduate and undergraduate courses in elementary and secondary literacy, foundational literacy skills, literacy for secondary content areas, and assessment. Her research and interests include educational policy, AI, and education. There you go, Dr. Ramsey, something you and I were talking about.
For sure.
Student engagement and questioning. She has worked as a national park ranger. Definitely stood out to me. We've got to ask about this. A middle school special ed teacher and a seventh grade aide. These roles have deeply influenced her approach to literacy, education, teaching, and research. Fascinating. Dr. Zimmer, thank you for joining us today. And please say hi to our listeners, our panel, and of course, the illustrious members of New York State's professional community.
Lancy, I'm really excited to be here with you today. You guys have a great podcast, and physical education educators are some of my favorite people. So I'm excited to get to talk to them.
That's awesome. We're lucky to have you indeed.
For sure.
So to help with today's topic, we've asked Dr. Zimmer to review two articles related to literacy integration, specifically in physical education. And we'll hope to talk about that as we move along. Yes. But before we get started, Dr. Ramsey, I think we've got to go rogue here. And we got to ask a little question about this National Park Ranger stuff.
Yes, what's that about?
Yeah, tell us about this. This is awesome.
As the people with a smoky hat and all that, is that what? Really? What?
Please.
It's really funny because I was going to leave that out, but whenever I put it in my bio, it's what everybody wants to talk about,
sure.
Right? So I was fortunate enough to grow up in Rome, New York, which has a national park in it, Fort Stanwyck's National Monument, which is a Revolutionary War fort. Throughout college, I would go back to Rome in the summers and work as a park ranger. And yes, I have the pinecone belt and the cool hat. It is an excellent tool for use on the thruway when you've got one of those cars that's kind of like sitting behind you. You can't do anything and it's trying to get past you, right? And so they're being really kind of jerky and riding your bumper. As they start to, you know, when they can finally pass, when they start to pull past you, just reach over and you put that hat on your head and you watch them hit the brakes. It's kind of fun. They don't know the difference between a park ranger and a trooper, luckily.
Oh, man. The closest I got was watching Yogi Bear, you know, like the parks thing, you know, which I thought was fascinating. I was glued on to that screen. But thank you. Oh, my goodness.
That is so I certainly considered like going to one of the more beautiful parks, like Acadia or Yellowstone, someplace with wide open spaces and doing that for a living. But then I got the education bug.
So let me ask you. So you have carte blanche to go like to any national park?
Well, you have to apply as a ranger, right? You apply for different positions and
if you visited, you could go to one of them, having been in this position or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Take the lobster boat out in Maine. Doesn't that sound like a great job?
For sure. Wow.
That is fascinating. But I agree with you. It certainly is the easy question to ask given your background, right? That everyone goes rogue with. But I am fascinated because I do believe it's probably given you a different perspective as an educator
now. Outdoors, of course.
Almost an ecological perspective, perhaps. Yes. Yeah,
and I can see you tying that into your classes. I'm sure you have.
Well, and as a park ranger, right, we had lots of student groups coming through the park, right? So you're thinking about how to educate them, but also entertainment. And I think that's what we're doing in the classroom too, right? Sure. It's always a balance between how can we get some important information to them without overwhelming them, but letting them have fun while they're doing it.
Learning. That's right. Awesome.
Awesome. Wow. That's great. Wow. Well, this segues nicely. So as we mentioned, we've given Dr. Zimmer a couple articles to read regarding literacy integration and then developed some questions for Dr. Zimmer today. But we certainly recognize that literacy is your specialty and not necessarily as it relates to PE and physical education. So, you know, we understand that and we know you're going to do your best nevertheless. So we hope we can have a productive session regarding how physical educators can think about more equitable learning environments to expand movement kingdoms for children like Dr. Kretschmar often proposes. So as higher educational faculty, we strive to support student learning using a myriad of modalities and subjects. So let's take it away. Vic, go ahead with our first question.
Yeah, for sure. So Dr. Zimmer, tell us about your work in literacy and the graduate literacy program at Canisius University. What brought you to this university?
So I've taught in higher ed for over 25 years now, but I was late to the PhD game. I earned my PhD in 2019 at the age of 52 because I'm a lifelong learner and there were always more things that I wanted to study.
52?
Yeah.
I thought you were only like 22 right now.
Sure. I wouldn't give up a single one of my years, Clancy.
That's awesome.
So after I got my PhD, then I felt like it had been so long since I'd been in the schools doing things. So I went back and I spent a year as a 611 teacher and worked closely with an amazing adaptive physical education teacher who came in and worked with my students who all had high needs autism. So we worked on integrating all kinds of things in physical education there. And then I spent a year as a seventh grade aide. And the great thing about being an aide is unlike classroom teachers, you get to follow students through all of their experiences. So I got to spend time with them in the gym and see how they were different people there. Some for the better, some for the worse. Sure. I got to see the ways that coursework could be integrated across subject areas, including in the gym and the pool. And it really, it was an amazing experience. It was seventh grade, and I was with the lowest achieving students. So they needed extra help in the classroom in whatever situation they were in, including in the gym. So a couple great experiences that really got me ready for when I saw that Canisius was looking for a new director for their graduate literacy program, I was excited about how I could bring those experiences into a literacy program and even carry it out farther, how literacy specialists could help across the curriculum.
That is fascinating.
Yes.
Fascinating, Dr. Z. I'm very much impressed with that, for sure. So what are your experiences, more specifically, with literacy and physical education? And do you believe there are opportunities to collaborate or infuse literacy and physical education? You kind of alluded to it a little bit. Could you expand a bit more on that, please?
Definitely. So I definitely think that there's need for collaboration, and that it's, we're not just talking about taking literacy into the gym. We're talking about bringing that physical education into all the classrooms where literacy is happening.
I love it, Dr. Zimmer. That's awesome.
Well,
I've been
proposing
that for a long time.
My 611 students, physical activity was really important for them. In particular, one student, we could get him to do things in the classroom by promising him physical activity. So we did lots of reading signs as we walked around the neighborhood. We created activities that would allow him to be physically active while he was learning literacy skills. And even though they were middle school students, we are talking some pretty basic reading skills, whole words, simple whole words, hoping to get them some lifelong learning skills so that they'd be able to read environmental print and be more successful in the world. And the PE teacher PE teacher that we worked with for the 611 students worked with me to create different kinds of games. We labeled all of the equipment, right, with words so that students could read the words. Some of them we were working on getting them to vocalize as well. So when we talk about literacy, I think it's really important that we talk about literacy across the spectrum. We're really not just talking reading and writing.
Sure.
For large groups of students, we're talking about speaking and listening. And then when we get into more modern technology, viewing and visually representing as well. I think, you know, some of the easiest things that we can do to infuse literacy into physical education is to label the gym, right? Label everything in the gym. And I know that seems a little more obvious for the elementary gymnasium than for the older students. Sometimes we're lucky when it's a K-12 school using the same gymnasium, right?
Sure.
Because then it doesn't look like we're babying anybody. But there are adolescent students who are still struggling with learning some of those basic words. If we can label the ball bin, the lacrosse sticks, the lines on the gym floor, just putting words into the environment. I think the gymnasium tends to be a very speech rich environment, right? Mm. There's lots of talking that goes on in it. And we can talk about that as well, that there are ways that we can make sure that language is optimized for students orally, and to work on their listening skills in the gym as well. I think that's one of the things that physical education teachers do best is they have the ones that I've seen that are amazing do this great job of creating listeners in the gym, getting eyes focused on them in a space where there are so many exciting things to look at.
Sure.
That is
fascinating indeed. Vic said it best. I like the idea of this approach of, often we think of physical education, and I like how you were very intentional with your descriptions and articulations, the idea that within movement spaces, we have gymnasiums and we have outdoor spaces and what have you. And with that, it is rich vocabulary and language that we often take for granted when we think about it from a disciplinary context. So I love it. That's fascinating.
Yeah. And I just use a term that I thought was just compelling. You says, I've heard of print rich, but now you use the word speech rich, which I thought speaks to what Clancy talking about. So that's amazing.
And dare I say, environmental tech. So there's the example of Dr. Zimmer's ecological background purveying the narrative, right? That's awesome. I love it. Okay, so another question for you, Dr. Zimmer. So with the topic at hand of literacy integration, and I like the fact that it goes both ways, but we'll get to that in a second. But what are the current obstacles that you see when we think about literacy integration, not only in PE and physical education, but also perhaps in other disciplines or education as a whole?
So time with faculty, right? Time for faculty to talk to each other and find out what's going on. Like I said, I had that amazing opportunity as a seventh grade aide to follow students from classroom to classroom and have conversations with all of those different teachers. But I think the use of the faculty room as a space to share ideas is going away from our schools. Many teachers are afraid to go into the faculty room. I know we teach our students, novice teachers, that the faculty room can be one of the most dangerous places for a student to be, because sometimes we start talking about the negative. But when we don't get together in those spaces, we don't get to talk about what's happening in each of our individual classrooms. And so people don't know that this week in the gymnasium, they're doing a unit on lacrosse, right? And so we can carry that over into the classroom. If we don't know what's going on in your space, how can we bring it into ours?
Oh, I love it.
That's intentional for sure. In fact, you kind of allude to the fact that oftentimes you'll find certain disciplines in silos, and one doesn't know what the other is doing. And if they only could imagine marrying both, and how fascinating it would be, how productive it would be for student learning outcomes. So thank you for sharing that. That was indeed amazing. Yes.
Well, the thing is, Dr. Ramsey, real quick, is Dr. Zimmer's on to something that when we just look at lacrosse as an example, think about all of the components within the sphere of lacrosse. Yes, there's the playing side of it that we think about in physical education, but there's the social side, there's the cultural heritage, there's the history, there's the language, there's the customs and tradition. I mean, it makes a lot of sense for a school district to take that organic, holistic approach when looking at content, and maybe thinking it more interdisciplinary, but also integrating literacy to go with that. I love it.
And you know, it makes me think about the one student, for example, that may not like, let's say, we are going to cover, we'll have lacrosse. Yes, the physical part. But when they hear about that other part of it, the history, the culture, you know, that might prompt some sense of curiosity about the sport. They say, you know what, maybe I need to try based on what I've heard in that classroom. So I that's amazing, Dr. Zimmer.
I love it.
I think there's some really easy moves the physical education teacher can make in the gymnasium that will help. The word lacrosse itself, right, doesn't look much like what it sounds like. Right. So I know that whiteboards are getting more common in gymnasium, but we have that problem with balls flying around and hitting them. Right. but just thinking to put the word in writing in front of students, you know, and running a hand underneath it so that you can, as you're saying the word lacrosse, you can visualize the word and see what it looks like. See that a sound, that schwa at the first syllable is actually an A, right? Yeah. And that there's a silent E at the end of it. You wouldn't think how it's written out when it's just said. Doing a quick move like that in particular helps English language learners and low readers. But, you know, just showing them a word is a little bit of help. And when they go to write that word, I don't know about you, there are some words in the gym that I really struggle with. Exercise. Every single time I go to write that word, I have to think, I think there should be a C after the X.
Right, right. Well, and I think that is spot on. And if you think about, just that small task of explaining or breaking down or unpacking the word lacrosse, the etymology of the word, and I'm only guessing, I haven't looked it up, but the etymology of the word sounds like it comes from French, right? So if all of a sudden a PE teacher took a couple minutes to do that, think about the perhaps the anticipatory set, the set induction that might imply, that might induce in a child, that all of a sudden they remember that a little differently than they would have in a more traditional or typical experience.
Sure, for sure.
You're right, Clancy. It was a French Jesuit priest who named the game, watching Native American men playing the sport.
Exactly.
Just ironic that the next question ties back to something you said that sparked something else. And I'm going to tell you in a minute what it is.
Okay.
So how can PE programs be intentional to better prepare future professionals for a more equitable learning environment in K-12 physical education? And listen to this, other disciplines. And the other disciplines I'm thinking about is speech pathologists, because you went into in how you actually pronounce the word and how you decipher this. So how can PE programs be intentional in better preparing our future professionals to make those learning environments equitable?
I do think it comes to being intentional about language use, that when we speak, right, we think carefully about the words that we use. There are so many great words in the gym. The word foul. Think about a foul, right?
Yes.
It's a great word.
It's
a homonym, though. A foul is also a bird.
Sure.
It could be a bad taste in your mouth or a
foul,
bad smell, right? It could be an adverb.
Yes.
Right?
Foul language.
So thinking foul language, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So think about the words that you use and take a moment, right, to say, as athletes, right, as people who play sports, who I think most physical educators are, like, you don't even think about the word foul. It's just something that's always there. You know what it is. So describing what that means to someone who is a second language learner or someone who hasn't spent a lot of time on a field doing something that involves fouls, right? Thinking about those words and then saying, hey, this time we're not talking about that bird. We're talking about a foul line, and this is what it is, right?
Sure.
And intentionality,
right? even crying foul when I beat Dr. Ramsey during pickleball games.
for sure. Interesting.
So you're saying he's going to be calling foul a lot?
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. You have me looking at print in the gymnasium literacy in a total different light.
Yes.
Because we're talking about academic language here, and here you're introducing the actual, not only the etymology, but the manner in which practitioners and future practitioners should be intentional in their delivery and usage of literacy in the physical education learning environment. Unbelievable. And you talked about English language learners and, of course, students with certain speech delays or anything of
yes.
that nature.
Mm-hmm.
You're spot on. You sound like a physical educator mixed with literacy.
Yes, I love it. I agree.
What a treat.
It's a different perspective, and I think it provides another opportunity to enhance the movement experience for children.
For sure.
And in an inclusive way, because not everybody moves the same way.
Absolutely.
So that's awesome. So our last question really pertains to the second article. And the article was written by yours truly, myself, and some colleagues at Canisius U, and where we argue, given the last 10, 15 years of that accountability era we're in, when in public education and educational reform. We argue what may hinder physical educators. And I think we've kind of talked about this. And the thing that I love is some of the conversation we've had already, how you use literacy to perhaps enhance value among all disciplines. I think that's important. But anyway, back to the question at hand. We argue that we have to be careful in being asked to integrate tasks from other disciplines to support those other disciplines because it hinders the growth and learning that may take place in PE. What are your thoughts?
First of all, I loved your article. I thought it was a fascinating look at something really important, right? We are always asking teachers to push more and more into what they do, what, you know, the classroom, the gymnasium. Nobody ever says, hey, you know what, let's take that bit out. It's always more and more. And that means that what we put in takes away something. And so, I mean, and it particularly because it seemed like the literacy moves that were being put into the physical activity were reasonable things. They weren't, it wasn't like write an essay about what you're doing in the gym, right? They were little things that still had an important impact reducing physical activity. And I think that is the last thing we want to be doing, especially, right? COVID, they say that COVID has reduced physical activity amongst children by 20%.
Sure.
It's also reduced literacy amongst children, right? So we're coming from a deficit place right now. And I don't want less physical activity. I think that's so important. So I think what we have to say is, A, it shouldn't be a one-way street. It should go both ways. So hopefully, if we do need to spend a little bit of time, and I do hope it's a little bit of time, making some moves that are going to support literacy in the gym, that we equal that out with some moves in the regular in the other education classrooms where we're bringing in physical education.
Reciprocated, exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Sure.
That is.
And I guess I think that was the most important point I wanted to make.
Sure. Sure. Well, I don't know, Dr. Ramsey. I think Dr. Zimmer hit it out of the park.
Oh my goodness. What a treat. Oh yes. My goodness. I know our listeners know that we'll get something great stuff out of this, especially future practitioners as well. I think just anybody in general. This concludes, and on behalf of New York State AFERD, we would like to thank Dr. Zimmer for joining us today to share her thoughts and perspectives to our listeners, especially physical educators and our future professionals. The information shared today could serve as a catalyst for your ongoing preparation. This session will be posted on the New York State AFERD website on our podcast channel. Stay tuned for new and exciting episodes scheduled throughout the year.
Please visit us on NewYorkStateAFERD.org, social media handles at New York State AFERD, or call us at 315-823-1015 for more information. Please also take note of our many professional development events throughout the year, including our annual state conference at the Turning Stone Casino in Verona, New York, in November each year. And maybe we can get Dr. Zimmer to join us next year at that conference.
For sure. Back to a presentation. Why not?
There you go. Well, thank you all. Thank you, Dr. Zimmer. You were fantastic.
Zimmer, thank you.
Thank you. Take care.